Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Not here, as it turns out. And let me see here. I got a little. Let me communicate here with Roger. There you go. Ray's not here, and he is probably maybe here in a few minutes. But we're going to continue the talking about. Or I actually am going to talk about what he and I were going to talk about, and that is what you and I can expect to see in 2007, probably even 2008, with regard to the 110th Congress, the next Congress that you and I are going to be the beneficiaries of, that we're going to be Oh, by the way, Ray is holding. Okay, they told me that Ray is holding. Ray, are you there?
I am here, Jim.
Hi, Ray.
How are you?
I'm glad to. I'm doing great. I'm better now that you're here.
I had telecommunications issues on this end. I apologize.
That's okay. I love Adventure Radio, which we have sometimes.
Well, I'm glad I could spice up your morning a little bit.
Well, you always do. I know I can always count on you, Ray. I was just telling the audience that. I was going to continue to march, even though you weren't here, because I, as you know, I've got a few things not always not indignant to either about this new Congress that we're going to inherit. I said we're going to be the beneficiaries of this new Congress, the 110th Congress. Anyway, folks, Ray Keating, as you know, is chief economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. He's the author of U.S. by the Numbers, among other books in that series, and he's our good friend, also a columnist for Newsday. And Ray, I'll formally welcome you now.
I'm happy to finally be here, Jim.
And I'm happy you're finally here too, Ray. The 110th Congress is going to come aboard with an attitude, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Well, they've got they've got to show the Democrat-led Congress has got to show people that they. That there was a reason for the change. So it's going to be interesting to see what that means, because there are going to be some, I think, obviously there are going to be some issues that should be of great concern to small business owners. And then actually there might be a few things that, you know, might finally get rolling in a positive direction. But I think when you look at their near-term, 100 legislative hours.
That always frightens me, Ray. This,
right.
See, this reminds me, by the way, folks, Speaker Pelosi, the first female speaker of the House, which is a red letter day for America, the first woman speaker of the House. She has said that she wants to get a certain number of things done in 100 hours. Typically, they mark these things in terms of 100 days, but she's got it down to 100 hours. And, Ray, anytime the federal government does anything that quickly, it frightens the bejeebers out of me.
And as well it should. You're wise to be frightened. I think the most glaring thing that jumps out at those of us that are out there trying to help small businesses is the proposed increase in the minimum wage. So I think that's certainly a big issue. And unfortunately, first off, I would say, obviously we at the SBE Council will be working and are working hard to stop any kind of increase in the minimum wage.
I admire you for that. I wouldn't expect anything less of you than that. I'm with you 100% in my mind, body, and spirit, Ray. But the president's already said he will sign it.
Yeah, well, that... this is the thing with the with President Bush, and actually he has said this for quite some time. His standard line, and the standard line from the White House is, oh yes, we favor an increase in the minimum wage as long as it doesn't hurt small businesses. Well, what the heck does that mean?
I support the troops, but I don't support the war.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, I think on this issue, the president will pretty much sign whatever Congress sends him, unfortunately.
That's exactly right. And see, here's the thing. The Democrats still don't understand, and many Republicans still don't understand how the U.S. economy works. And the Republicans don't have the backbone to fight the Democrats on this, including Mr. Bush. And so you can a minimum wage increase to $7.25 is absolutely a foregone conclusion. Unfortunately. Stand by. Rick Keating, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm your host. Stand by. 20 minutes till. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. Our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend Ray Keating, Chief Economist for Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, sbecouncil.org, by the way. Ray, we were talking about what the 110th Congress is going to do to us. They're going to probably do more to us than for us, Ray, in my opinion. And we were talking about minimum wage. To raise minimum wage with an economy that's creating 1.2 million jobs a year still, with a 4.3% unemployment, with the number one single greatest challenge for small business is finding good people to work, meaning all kinds of pressures being put on wages upward. To raise minimum wage right now is like saying, you know what, we've got a leak in our boat, let's go ahead and knock another hole in it so it'll go down faster.
Yeah, and it's obviously going to affect different parts of the country, you know, will have feel it harder than others. But I think, you know,
certain industries.
Right, absolutely. Oh, you're right, absolutely. Or certain industries. Obviously, top on the list are any kind of labor-intensive industries, you know, restaurants, et cetera. So they are going to feel it. And it's, you know, there are two groups here that get hurt by a minimum wage increase. One, or two primary groups. One is are these small business owners who, you know, so many of them are operating on thin margins and are really going to pay a price for a higher minimum wage. And then number two is are the very people that the politicians say they're trying to help, and that low, unskilled, inexperienced workers who will be priced out of many jobs. And that's the economic reality of it. There isn't much, you know, economists disagree on just about everything, but most economists agree that raising a minimum wage does these two things to the economy. So it's another case of, you know, political fantasy winning out over economic reality, unfortunately.
It's completely counterintuitive, isn't it?
I'm sorry, say that again?
It's counterintuitive. And it's 100% a political act. It has nothing to do, because the people they're trying to help, they're actually hurting, and it puts upward pressure on all the other jobs, all other pay. It creates a tax on small businesses without creating 1 ounce, 1 cent of increased productivity, and it's basically nothing more than price fixing by government fiat.
You summed it up perfectly. That's exactly right, and nonetheless, they keep forging ahead with it. And you know what? It's a tough issue to battle because, you know, when you look at what happened on November 7th, there were several minimum wage increases on state ballots, and they passed. And they passed by pretty good numbers. So it's a case where we economists have to do a better job of teaching economics to the people out there and to politicians.
I'll tell you what I have said. Anytime you see anybody, any politician who votes for an increase in minimum wage, what you're seeing is someone is admitting that they're so stupid that they don't understand the basic economic fundamentals of our economy.
You're absolutely right.
They're admitting to stupidity.
It's a very frustrating thing because it is straightforward economics. And yeah. And
I have hired many entry-level people in the last 10 years. I say many, quite a few. I've never paid anybody minimum wage. People don't pay. Most people come aboard more than minimum wage. My point is the minimum wage is irrelevant, but because you establish a higher one, it does put upward pressure on other income because people say, wait a minute, I'm now only $2 off of minimum wage. I was $4 off of minimum wage. I need a $2 raise.
You know, you're right. That upward pressure is absolutely there. But you know what? I think it does affect, you know, Walter Williams, a great economist, I heard him speak earlier this year, and he made a very interesting point. Why do you think nobody squeegees your windows anymore in a gas station? Why do you think there's no one with a flashlight helping you find your seat in a movie theater? The reason those jobs are not around anymore is because they have been priced out by the minimum wage. Those jobs have been eliminated due to the government mandate on wages.
And so, therefore, there are no jobs for these young people. You've got, what, a 10-year-old boy? You know, 5 years from now, there's not going to be a job available for him with a flashlight or with a squeegee, as you say, like I had when I was a kid.
Exactly. And for some reason, you know, these politicians have a tough time dealing with this straightforward economic equation.
Well, this is one of my hot buttons. Let's get off of it and move on. What's the next thing they're going to do to us?
Well, you know, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about a couple of potential positives. Number one is the alternative minimum tax. And, you know, we've heard a lot of complaining. We've gotten little patches here and there on the AMT. But what's interesting is, you know, this has been one of those tax issues where the Republican-controlled Congress, I think, really missed the boat because they had a lot of Democrats on board with them to either greatly reform or, what we would argue for, get rid of this silly...
Eliminate it,
Yeah, the silly second tax system that...
It's
that,
not
you know,
silly. It's not just silly.
And increases complexity and so on. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Democrats in control because they are not friends of the AMT. Now, I don't... You know, we will certainly push for repeal of both the individual and the corporate AMT. I think, you know, I would be shocked if that's where a Democratic Congress finally came down. But I think you can, you know, chances are very good that you're going to see some major reforms there, and that certainly would be a big plus for small business owners.
I don't think the 110th Congress will be capable of doing that, Ray.
Okay.
I wish I had. I thank you for that report. I appreciate your optimism. I think you're naive. No, I'm teasing, folks. Ray would never be naive. But I'm just pretty crotchety about this 110th Congress. They haven't even been sworn in yet, and I'm not very hopeful. I think they're looking for ways to get more income, not less income, and it's going to cost them about $50 billion a year if they do away with AMT. Stand by, Tintel. We'll be right back.
Say that last just as the time bell rings.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and have a great visit with our good friend Ray Keating, the guy who's really not as naive as I made him out to be earlier. But Ray, you know, you got to admit,
every cloud has a silver lining.
That's exactly. You're such a romantic, Ray. You're such a romantic. You know, Ray, the AMT brings in about $50 billion a year.
Right.
Alternative minimum tax, by the way, folks, I know you've heard me say this before, but I want to say it again. Alternative minimum tax was created in the 70s because there were some rich people who were using tax shelters to such a great degree that they were paying no taxes. And so the government came up with the AMT. Was it 50s or was it 60s or 70s? Way on back, folks.
The late 60s.
Yeah, late 60s. And so they didn't want people to completely avoid tax, so they came up with this alternative calculation that didn't allow for the tax shelters. And so this went all the way through, and it worked fine. It accomplished their goals until 1986 when they abolished all of those shelters, but they didn't abolish the tax which was designed to avoid to circumvent those shelters. Now here we are literally 20 more years later. And we still have the tax, but we don't have the shelters. And it is creeping down into middle America, isn't it, Ray?
Oh, absolutely. And let's remember, you know, there was a whopping 200 people that this was addressed in. In the 1960s, one tax year, it was approximately 200 people that paid no income tax. So this outraged Congress, of course.
Yeah.
And they stepped up, and they put in the AMT, and now it is threatening tens of millions of people.
Exactly.
See, we couldn't see that coming, could we?
Right, exactly. And, folks, this is a tax that shouldn't even exist. It should have ended 20 years ago. It should have been part of the Tax Reform Act of 86 to abolish that tax, but it didn't. And now it's bringing in $50 billion. And, Ray, if you think they're going to...
Even worse, and you talk about the 1980s, the 1980s brought the corporate version of the AMT.
Right.
So
right.
It got even worse in the 1980s.
So, Ray, they're not the 110th Congress is not, and by the way, that's my euphemism now for the Democrats, the 110th Congress. that way I sound, you know, magnanimous and not too rigid, not too intolerant. The 110th Congress is not going to do away with AMT.
Well, will they do away with it altogether? I wish they would, but no. Are they going to pass something, some sort of reform? I think they are, and I don't see the downside for the Democrats, and quite frankly, Bush will sign anything that comes his way.
I agree.
So I think something will happen. The question, the huge question is, how do they, quote-unquote, pay for it? So that's where we get
into this. There won't be any they paying for it, right? It'll be you and me.
Exactly. That's the sticky issue of, you know, are they going to, you know, raise various taxes and so on. So
Ray, we've got 2 minutes left. What about immigration? Is that a bright spot?
I would argue is a bright spot. You know, if you deal with the economics of immigration, the reality of why people come here and why they're needed here, you know, the 98% of the people come here for economic opportunity. Mm-hmm. They're meeting the demands of businesses in terms of labor, legal and illegal, quite frankly. So I think there's a real opportunity here for, you know, what we call comprehensive immigration reform, where you beef up on the security side, but you open the door to citizenship on the other side, and you deal with both sides of the immigration reform issue. You deal with the security and the economics. Unfortunately, Republicans chose to only deal with the security side,
mm-hmm.
and they chose to ignore the economic realities. And,
right.
and quite frankly, they paid a price for it.
Absolutely. So you actually believe that immigration was a big reason that the Republicans lost, not just Iraq? Not just the scandals.
I think for select members, especially in the House, who were really hardcore anti-immigration folks, they did pay a price
like
for it.
Hayworth and the guy in Indiana, I think, or Illinois. All right, here's a question I've never heard anybody ask before, and you won't be surprised that I'm asking it. If they raise minimum wage $2.10 an hour, what's that going to do to illegal immigrants wanting to come across the border?
Well, you know what? There are two answers to that. On the one, the quick answer is, gee, it's going to encourage them more so.
Right.
But the other argument is what we were just talking about here, the economics of the minimum wage is that you wind up eliminating a lot of jobs that are for those low-skilled and experienced workers. So I'm not quite sure how it would come out, quite frankly. Are some of those jobs going to be eliminated? Are they going to be pushed further underground? All sorts of dynamics there. I'm not quite sure. I'd have to think about it some more.
We would have, more illegal immigrants because the money's going to go up. They haven't figured out how to use technology to pick all those, all that fruit and all those vegetables and other things like that, other jobs like that. Ray, give us the website, please.
SBEcouncil.org.
SBEcouncil.org. It's an outstanding organization, folks. If you care about your small business from a public policy standpoint, please visit that website. Happy New Year, Ray.
You too, Jim. Take care.
Quick break. Actually, I'm gone for this hour, but I'll get another one coming right after this one. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.